live and local. It's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Oh, or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Whitey Gleason. We got the Phantom in today for Drapes. And Emil, since you've just been badgering him, Emil said, I'm going to come on the air and defend myself.
I've just been talking stick all day. What you mean? Come on.
So I'm on the air one time in 10 years, and he's got a horn in on my last 2 hours?
That's right.
All right, I'll make the show better. I'm with it. Yeah, fantastic.
What would you, you thought we were besmirching the good name of Keegan Murray somehow, Emil?
Look, there's been a hot debate about Keegan Murray, Jay and I, for many, many moons, and it goes back to the draft. I was a Keegan Murray guy initially. I just want to make that clear. Uh-huh. I want Keegan all the way. I thought Jaden was going to be a very talented player called the next Russell Westbrook.
It's very important to know.
But I thought for this team, it's so much harder to find a small forward, power forward that can be reliable both offensive and defensively than it is to find a point guard.
Mm-hmm. Who in the history of your life as a fan, whatever sport, probably not baseball because we don't concern ourselves with the baseball draft.
That's gross.
But basketball draft, football draft,
say that,
who were you really wrong on? And maybe somebody that you were like, yep, I knew it. Who were you really wrong on?
In football?
Football, basketball, whatever comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. Well, right now it's Cade Cunningham. Right now.
He's pretty good, though.
Yeah, is he, though?
It's too early to say that, I think, about Cade Cunningham.
How about you, Phantom? George Mikan? You were...
I was right on him, George. I thought Cousy was a little too fancy.
Yeah,
I thought,
right.
Cousy, what are you doing with the dancing and everything?
It turned out.
No, seriously, there was a guy who was a point guard in college, and he was an excellent player, and he was not a good shooter, and I did not see any way that he was going to be able to shoot it on the pro level. So I said, you know, I don't know about that Magic Johnson guy. I don't really know.
Really?
I think the jury's still out, but I think I was probably wrong on that.
See, that makes sense. I mean, obviously, no, you were wrong, but I could see why you thought, oh, that jump shot.
Well,
right?
And in those days, you didn't see people. I mean, they weren't on TV every week. You saw them maybe
twice.
They were
on the most famous college basketball game ever.
I saw that. And there was a good guy on the other team, too. So it was kind of like, which guy am I watching here? I thought you needed to have a jump shot to be able to play point guard. Obviously, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was right about Halliburton.
I was surprised on Halliburton. I didn't think that would translate at all. Mm-hmm. I thought that shot was way too perfect.
That's kind of the same thing, almost. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I think you did a good job, Whitey. That's a good evaluation.
I think it was good that you had Emil and I tell you who we were wrong about, and you said, well, yeah, I was right about Halliburton. I don't know if you saw that, but I caught that.
Since I'm a stand-up guy, I will say that I believed all the Lonzo Ball stuff that the Lakers were talking about.
I did, too. I still do.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be there.
I mean, he's not going to be anything now.
He's hurt now.
But, the way he played,
he was sad.
I thought he was a great point guy. I thought he was going to be great, and then injuries, obviously derailed him.
Who would you mind of, Phantom, Lonzo?
Oh, I don't know. He was kind of a one-on-one in a way because, how at 6'6", you didn't see a lot. I mean, it's not like Oscar Robertson size, and I'm not comparing him at all to Oscar Robertson, but that's a big point guard. I mean, he's on either end of an alley-oop. You don't see a lot of point guards like that. And he had the ability, I thought, to be a real good defensive player, but the most important thing is he didn't care who scored. As long as your team scored. He didn't care who got the ball. He didn't care who got the credit. So that's what I loved most about
Lonzo. I thought he was going to be Jason Kidd. I thought he was going to be amazing.
One that I was wrong about was his brother. When LaMelo came out.
Meant the other brother.
Yeah.
We all knew LiAngelo.
I had a card. I had a ripping card with LiAngelo. I just ripped it. Yeah.
Yeah. We were doing an interview with, David Thorpe, who works with players.
Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember doing a pre-draft interview with him, and he said, I would never want that guy. He said, I watch him, on TV because he's in the Australian League, and he's just not competitive enough. I would never want him. And I thought, whoa. And I thought, he doesn't play defense. Yeah. I've seen him. He doesn't care to play defense. That shot's funky. And I thought, I wouldn't touch that guy.
Yeah,
it turned out he's pretty good.
Yeah. No, talent. You could see the vision with him, though. The vision was what it was. You know who I was, even in the 2017 draft, and this is before Lonzo was taken, I was wrong about Markelle Fultz. That's who I was wrong about. I thought Markelle was going to be a very talented player. He was so good at Washington, so dynamic, so great at attacking the basket.
But his team wasn't that good. I mean, if he was that good.
Right. Yeah, but neither was Anthony Edwards' team at Georgia, but we all knew why he did that, because his team was so bad he had to kind of shoot them out of it. Similar to how Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech had to just throw for 600 yards a game because the team was so bad he had to just do crazy stuff all day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fultz maybe wouldn't have been number one. That would have probably helped him right off the bat.
Yeah.
Because he got the first pick, and all of a sudden, he was a surprise number one pick.
Yeah.
And I think that put a lot of extra pressure on him, especially the way that they used him and stuff.
That and changing his shot, too, which I've never understood.
Do that,
you can't mess with the guy's head like that. It's just, ugh.
Well, I mean, I don't know if how much of it was the Lakers, how much was Lonzo, but he messed with his own shot and he kind of fixed it.
But I mean, he was in on it. He bought in. He said, I've got to get this.
And he was like,
fixed.
He got to the point where he was a good three-point shooter.
Absolutely.
And LaMelo with Charlotte, they said, we want to fix your shot. And he said, no, I'm good.
Nope.
And he's pretty good.
There you go. LaMelo was correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, you know, we don't talk enough about, like, he was wearing his own shoes that his dad was making it out of his house, and now he has all these knee and ankle injuries that I would assume are attributed somewhat
they
to
are.
That.
They actually are.
Yeah.
They are.
I think we do talk enough
I'm
gonna
about
I'm
going to need to see documentation on that.
Wow,
the
really?
Shoes were not, the shoes were really bad. They're poorly constructed Chinese shoes, unfortunately. And
he doesn't still wear them.
No.
They're no longer even really a thing because of how bad they are.
But they ruined his Laker brand. Career.
They ruined his career in general. His knees are never in the same sense.
Oh,
so
I
Lonzo.
See.
They moved
we're
Lonzo.
Talking about Lonzo.
Yeah, Lonzo, that's not LaMelo.
That's why LaMelo was like, I'm good. I'm good. I don't want the shoes.
Gotcha.
I don't want the brand. I'm going to do my own thing. And it was the best career decision for him.
Yeah, because Lonzo might be done, right?
Yeah, I think
he's certainly never going
to
be the same.
Even if he's healthy, he's probably going to take him 2 years to get back to you know, NBA shape or NBA level.
It was a long time ago, this report, but he had a hard time even going up the stairs still.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after his second surgery, and that's just so sad to hear.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of shooting here, well, I'll tell you what, hang on to this for just a little bit. Let's take our quick break. When we come right back, the Kings, as I mentioned, at the top of the hour, the Kings are, we all assume they're a pretty good shooting team, right? Kings are a good shooting team.
We assume that, sure. Yeah.
Or are they?
I don't know about that.
See if these numbers from The Athletic change your opinion. We're right back with those Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
I want to thank the caller. Somebody called, Kyle, didn't want to go on the air.
This is great.
But I mentioned that I got, because Lonnie and Darren got me some cards for Christmas, and I got this Rip card, which is, it's a baseball card of Xander Bogaerts. It's numbered, but there's another card inside, but you don't know what it is. So you rip it, and if it's a real, it could be really valuable, which is like, yes, I'm glad I ripped it. Or it could be, so I don't know. And apparently the caller said, Whitey, I don't want to say who I am, but
it was Sam Elliott.
Yeah. If you put the card up to your refrigerator, you can tell if it's metal or not. And I'm like, I don't understand.
Because it'll stick? But what if your refrigerator's not
metal? My refrigerator's not a magnet. I mean, I don't... maybe he meant if there's a refrigerator magnet. Maybe he meant...
There's a magnet in there. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe if you take a refrigerator magnet...
Right.
And put it on there and it sticks to the card, that means there's something.
Yeah, but do you like own an actual magnet in your house?
Oh, we have lots of refrigerators.
Oh, come on.
Magnets.
We got one in
really?
The basement.
Okay.
Got
tons of them.
A giant one in the basement.
Have any in our house.
For when I take over the world.
Thank you very much.
Even Sam thought it was funny.
Yeah. I mean, they're old. You don't have any refrigerator magnets?
No.
Yeah, of course we do.
Yeah, okay.
We don't.
These young people today.
What's wrong with you people?
I think I'd rather have the $2 than the refrigerator magnet.
Thank you, whoever called. Because Kyle said he said to put it on your refrigerator.
Yes.
He must have said refrigerator magnet.
We should have that guy call back.
We
won't publicize his name or anything.
I can't tell you who I am. I think it was Batman.
I think it was Batman.
And the team that should have in 2002.
That's who it is. I just wanted to play that for Emil because he hadn't heard it yet.
Shout
That's
out
a pretty
Sam
good
Elliott.
Sam Elliott, huh?
Shout out Sam Elliott. That was great.
We have today in The Athletic a list of the best shooting teams in the NBA, but not just someone's opinion. This is based on mid-range field goals made per game, non-paint twos, mid-range field goal percentage, threes made per game, three-point percentage, and free throw percentage. Okay, so by these measures, best shooting teams in the NBA. One, OKC. Two, Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
Their defense is miserable. Offensively, they're
scoring.
Yeah.
They're
bringing
making
a lot
of shots.
Third best shooting team, Milwaukee. Fourth is the Philadelphia 76ers. And the fifth is the Golden State Warriors. The Kings, last year, by these metrics, ranked 11th. Right now, they are 20th in the NBA.
Wow.
Again, that's mid-range field goals made per game, mid-range field goal percentage, threes made per game, three-point percentage, free throw percentage. Analysis, Sacramento's entire perimeter rotation hunts threes, which puts pressure on teams. But De'Aaron Fox is the only consistent threat in the mid-range, while the Kings are relatively average when it comes to shooting accuracy. The Kings are also hurt by Fox and Domas being poor free throw shooters. So as your son said, long story short, they're a team of good shooters, but they're not shooting good.
Yeah, when you mentioned the two-point percentage non-paint, I think what Mill said about Keegan Murray, I think that would be a place he would, you know, he would be good. I would think his game, that would be a good part of his game. I know he's making threes.
He's showing some strides, though,
The mid-range game is, what is he, 6'8"? Yeah. Pull-up shot from about 12 to 15, that would be a valuable weapon in your arsenal.
Do you think it's possible the Kings just aren't as good as they were last year offensively? Maybe it's not, we're focusing more on defense. Maybe they just played a little bit over their heads last year. Maybe Mike Brown knew that.
We talked about this a little. We said, you know, would they average 118, I think, last year? So what if they average 115 or 116 with their defensive woes? That's going to be bad. And they're not, and they're still at 118, but they're still allowing the 118.
They were the third best team in the West, despite being the best offense in NBA history last season, and so that's kind of an issue with their defense, and unfortunately their defense has not gotten to the levels of where their offense is, and now the offense is kind of middling out. That's the problem.
And as we talked about earlier, they have a worse defensive rating this year than they did last year.
And that's a problem.
Yes, it is. 117.1, I
think. Because everything this year, even though they rank higher in defensive rating just barely, everything this year was about being more physical, making other teams feel you physically, defensively, and that was where all the improvement was supposed to come, and that's why they really aren't much better than they were.
They got out physical last night by Diop Rath. So I'm just
what was that last night, Emil?
Who? Thank you.
Good for him. But what was that?
Absolutely.
I don't know. He's been actually a really nice contributor for the Portland Trailblazers. They've been kind of turning things around under Chauncey Billups to some degree. But if you're the Sacramento Kings and you're just in the playoffs and you got a guy like Sabonis, you're like, if you can't handle this guy, can you really handle Kevon Looney? Can you really handle all these other big physical centers? Because that's a problem. And I've always thought the Kings kind of need someone next to him to really help solidify the anchor spot with Domantas. I think Domantas is a very nice offensive player. Defensively is where his issues are.
Do you think he's a four? A lot of people here on the chat.
If he could shoot threes, then sure, but he can't shoot threes.
Yeah,
that's
a
problem.
Shoot threes. You need a
floor spacing four. You need like a 6'9", like a Bam Adebayo. You know, I know it's hard to come by, but that'd be someone to put next to Siakam.
When the Kings,
I should say Sabonis. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. We knew.
That's a Freudian slip. We understand.
When the
Kings wants the big trade.
Yeah. Yes, he does. You do, don't you?
I've been on the Siakam thing for so long now. That's why Siakam would also be an answer to that question. So.
But Siakam, what about his contract? And we don't know if he'd be sticking around. It'd be a lot of money, and he'd be expensive in terms of what I'd pay him if he stays. And I have to give up a lot to get him in the first place. So how is he worth that?
Look, I get it, and he's also on the wrong side of 30 turning too. But at the end of the day, he is also a former All-NBA player, and to get that next to Sabonis along with De'Aaron Fox is a nice big three, and you can be like, okay, we have our three horsemen. We just got to make sure that the team around it works, and Siakam is good both on both sides of the floor, which you can't say about Sabonis.
I don't think we can say they have their three horsemen yet. They will have. I don't know if Keegan's
they're
one
hoping,
of them yet.
They're hoping
two horsemen. Phenomenal. I like him too, like you do, but last night
trying to grow into the third horseman.
What is his
now.
Ceiling? You know, that's the real question of Keegan. Is it an all-star, All-NBA? What is the ceiling of Keegan Murray? Because again, we forget he's an older second-year player. He's 23 years old now.
I think he's an all-star, and then
potentially an all-star. Yeah. And the thing with Siakam is, I think that his three-point shooting has kind of taken a dive.
It has,
and that is a key component of, I think, as we talked about earlier, anybody we're going to add has to have a defensive component, obviously,
but
also
a good defender.
Has to be able to shoot the three. And he has taken kind of a off the cliff shooting the threes.
You're correct.
For an older player, that really is a kind of alarming and expensive.
We really don't have a big man that can shoot threes, do we?
Well, Trey Lyles.
Would you say he's a big man? Well,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's big.
He's a 4'5".
They play him at the five.
Yeah.
He's a small five, but okay.
Stretch. Yeah, he's a stretch.
I'm not saying he's an answer in the starting lineup at that spot, but he is a big man who can shoot threes.
And Anunoby's a better defender, right, than Siakam?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's also a wing. He's not a forward.
Siakam helps you defensively, but again, if he's going to give you value on what you're paying to get him and paying him, he's going to have to take shots from somebody, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, which it might be okay, but I mean, let's just,
Well, he can take him from maybe a Harrison Barnes, who he would take his place, or somebody else like that.
Which I'm
maybe
okay
a
with
couple
doing.
Of the Herder
sure.
shots. Yeah.
I have so much respect for the Black Falcon, but he served his time. I think we need to go find someone at that 3-4 spot that's better. And then that way we can move Keegan to the 3, which is where I think his natural position is.
And how does Kevin Herder fit into your future plans, Phantom?
Well, under the new regime that I just heard, I don't know that he fits in at all. I think Emile's trying to run him out the door. I think that's part of what he's going, look over here, and then he kicks him right out the door.
I love Red Velvet. I really do. I have a couple of rookie cards of Red Velvet.
Just because you say their nicknames doesn't mean you like them.
I know, you noticed that. Yeah.
Black Falcon, Black Red Velvet. Okay, all right, great.
That's a really great point. Thank you for calling him out on that. He just That's his entire crutch, if you say the nickname, you sound like you love him.
Hey, Jimmy G's my favorite guy. All right.
Kevin Herter.
I thought that was Sam Elliott for a second.
That was Kevin Durant.
Yeah. So, Kevin Herter, you've had it with him, huh? It's time to move on.
I haven't had it with him. It's just he's not being as efficient as he needs to be. And Kevin Herter's whole thing is that if you're not making shots, why are you out there? You're not doing anything else.
I understand that. If you look at his numbers right now, they're down, but they're not horrible game to game. Like he's put together a string of games here where for the season, they're not terrible. I still think your best move with him might be keep him and hope that he finds it.
Trade him?
Well, I don't. What are you going to get for him?
I think that's part of his position on the team is he has to improve. He has to mature with the team. That's basically what you're hoping he'll do. Now, obviously, you said a rough patch, but that's your view for this team is that they're going to grow together with Keegan growing into that all-league player that you hope to be and Kevin Herter becoming a very serviceable, if not better than that shooting guard.
Because think about when the Kings got Kevin Herter in the first place. It was like, why is Atlanta giving up on this player who still is young, still developing, gave them 29 points in the playoff
game? Last year.
He did. And we saw why. Most people regard that as a bad trade for Atlanta.
I just don't know, Emile, what you're going to get for him unless he'd have to be a piece of a bigger deal, right? Mm-hmm. We'll give you this guy, we'll give you that guy, we'll give you this pick.
That's how it's going to be like a 3-for-1 is what I see the Kings kind of doing. I do see Monty making another. Again, Monty made a huge move 2 years ago, moving off of Tyrese Haliburton for Sabonis. And I know Monty's not afraid to make the splash move. I just don't know what it's going to be. But I think Monty is not happy with where the team is at right now, and he wants to see improvements, and that might have to come in form of a trade.
The thing with the Sabonis deal is that you can kind of see when he's making the move how the pieces are going to fit together.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, obviously, if everything works out the way it's supposed to. With one of these 3-for-1 moves for a big name, I don't think it's as easy to see that.
It's not.
It's tough to try to predict it. I think he had a pathway. He goes, if I do this and get this guy, maybe he didn't see Fox being unlocked as much as he was, but still, that was a byproduct of it. Maybe he could see that pathway and had an idea, and that's a trade. You have to have conviction to make that trade.
You do.
Or else you don't. And I don't know that you'd get the same kind of feeling making a 3-for-1. And I know this is Mr. Big Trade over here. That's his nickname.
Most nights I spend trying to figure out the trade machine for everyone. Yes, I really do.
What do you think? Kevin Durant, he's unhappy in Phoenix, according to Woj.
I'm not going to let you finish that sentence. I know where you're going with this.
Maybe you pry him away from the sun, no?
He's 35 years old.
What if you can guarantee a spot in the finals?
You can't. You can't guarantee Kevin Durant's going to be healthy next month. That's the problem.
It ruins my whole premise.
Well, you tried. You tried,
it ruins
Phantom.
My whole premise.
Look, I love Kevin Durant. He's one of the greatest players I've ever seen
play
basketball.
The Slim Reaper. Yeah.
I didn't even say the nickname.
No, yeah, because you like him. If you didn't like him, you would have said his nickname.
Look,
we saw you catch it.
You see how this goes?
Yes.
You see?
We've caught on to your formula, Emile.
Look, Kevin Durant would be an excellent player to add for the Kings. If they do add him, I'd be jumping out of my chair. Now, he's 35 years old.
He's not exactly an add-on player.
It's like you're winning the title or you're not. That's really boom or bust for the Kings.
Yes, exactly.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Marcus joins us on Sackdown Sports. Hello, Marcus. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How we doing?
Good. What do you got for us?
All right. So I heard you guys talking about Herter a little bit, and I've been a big advocate for having Malik in that starting position just based off of productivity. So I was wanting to pick you guys' brain to see why you think they've been sticking with Herter even through all the slumps and everything else when I thought it was a production-based league. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Marcus, for listening. Yeah, we will answer that question. Why are they sticking with Herter? Why isn't Monk starting when we come right back? Emile's joining us today. Kyle in his Padre jersey, keeping us on track. The Phantom is here.
Yes. Phantom.
Yeah, and I'm no one of consequence on Sacktown Sports.
The NFL's leading rusher plays here.
And a handoff to McCaffrey, walks in the end zone. Handoff to McCaffrey, takes it right down to the goal line. He does his thing again.
McCaffrey goes in motion right. Backwards pass led by Juszczyk. A block there.
Hurdles a man. 10-5. Touchdown! CMC!
You can hear all all of Christian McCaffrey's touchdowns on your home for 49ers football, Sacktown Sports. Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
If this is it, Huey Lewis.
Oh, Huey Lewis in the News. Thank you, my friend. That's a great choice right there.
Great song.
Yeah. I mean, he has others, but I mean, that's a good start.
Yeah. Kyle Ledbetter pushing the buttons today. Emil joining us. Whitey Gleason. And in for Kyle Draper, it's the Phantom.
The Phantom.
Making his triumphant. His triumphant? Question mark return. Yeah.
Triumphant.
Return, debut.
Maybe
I don't know.
His return, maybe. I don't know. It's a new building.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Yeah.
It's
a different building.
Fantastic building.
Yeah.
It's not new by any stretch. No.
My favorite story about this building, and I love being here. Honestly, love it. So grateful. I was working here during the summer with Chris Watkins. We were doing 10 to 2.
Yes, you were.
And we came in one morning. We were working on the show, came in early. And Chris is walking ahead of me. And it was that area where we just were when we
came in.
And Chris is walking ahead of me. And he's like, I think on the show today. And he's not looking. And above him, just to his left and from the ceiling, there's this descending, very, very large.
Make it a python.
Black widow spider.
Yep.
Well, that's not good.
Yep.
And
what did
he
you
was
do?
About to, he didn't see it.
What do you think? You pushed him into it.
Yeah, what did you do? It's the Marty Gleason show.
Yeah. He was about, and it was weird because the thing came half, normally the lights go on, those things take off.
No.
This one had
after Chris.
Another idea. Came down about halfway
seems
and
like a
stopped.
Nice
well, this building's haunted. Like, so.
Chris! No!
I ran and I dove and got him out of the way.
You didn't dive.
No, but I did. I said, hey, what? I moved him out of the way. He's like, oh, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That was life-saving.
They got that taken care of, and then we have an enemy.
They got rid of the Black Widow spider. Yeah.
That's good.
It's all out of their system, as we say with Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, wow. I think, what do we name it? Spud Webb? We had a,
you named it Spud Webb?
Very clever name, I'm sure. Some punny name. That's very good.
Spide Webb.
Yeah. So anyway.
That's a very good story,
But this is a different building.
Lifesaver, Whitey Gleason.
Phantom worked there many years.
He seems so beholden to you. He says how great you are
Phantom,
all the time. And
speaking of Phantom, you know this building's haunted, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right? You feel it, too.
Yeah, it has that vibe.
It has, it really has that. I've been talking about
this. We should have a
seance
in here right now because there would be
you got to burn some sage.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, some incense, burn all of it,
One of the first days I was here, I was looking down that staircase. Well, you haven't been down there yet. But I was looking at it. I was waiting for Chris to do something because they wouldn't give me a card to get into the studio like 3 months.
But you're saving the employees' lives.
Yeah.
And they won't give you a card.
So I had to wait for Chris to
it's
let me in.
Thing.
So I'm looking down the stairway, and there was just I felt like I was looking at an M.C. Escher drawing, and I was just like, I don't know why, but this is weird. I'm just staring at it.
Yep.
And I'm looking at it, and Chris goes, what are you doing? And I said, I don't know. I'm just staring at this. He goes, oh, yeah, well, the place is haunted.
Yep.
Nice.
It's not a joke.
Do
I'm
we
being
know
real
the,
about
what's
this.
What's the origin story?
Well, this building used to be an old gene factory. That's the rumor, is that this used to be an old
gene
factory.
See, that's explanation, but that doesn't...
Some people who died in the job, I believe, is probably what's happened here. There's,
probably.
The gene factory?
The gene factory.
Get caught inside a slim
probably
fit
is
something.
Doing a lot there. Probably is doing
you know
a lot.
You know how ghost stories work, but whenever they say, yes, this is an old building, used to be a gene factory, look how the window is upstairs and how it overlooks the rest of the building, I go, oh, that makes sense. This used to be the office area.
Right. It is kind of weird, but
I do
that's
like
where
that.
I can't make that
And the hallways are super narrow.
They are super narrow. It's like the Hearst
I also know how ghost stories work. They make them up.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like,
why is he laying on a parade?
Why is this building haunted? Well, you know what it used to be, right? No, what? A
gene factory.
All right. Okay. Help me out here. I don't understand.
Yeah. Now that you said it again, I get it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm going to keep spreading these ghost stories.
What were we going to answer? Oh, the question.
Herder Monk, yes.
Herder Monk.
Malik Monk, yes.
Yeah. Somebody called and asked about that, right? So here's
Marcus.
Marcus. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus.
Possible explanation. And these are 5-man lineups for the Kings, and this is not the most current. It's about a week old, so we've had a few more games to factor in here. But this lineup, and this is exactly what you're talking about, Monk in the starting lineup. Barnes, Sabonis, Fox, Monk and Murray as a lineup. Okay, so that's the starters with Monk in for Herder. Negative, their net rating, -13.3. Offensive rating 118.2, defensive rating 131.5. So that's in 9 games, only 35 minutes. But with Monk in for Herter, that lineup has not done well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the eye test, you watch him play, say, hey, he'd be great. You know, the coaches see all this stuff and they're watching more closely. And I think that's one reason why we haven't seen that.
And, you know, with minutes wise, at least the last couple of games, it seems like Herter doesn't get the minutes. Monk gets the minutes. So
Monk's
in
the closing lineup.
Yeah, he's in the close. And that's what they say is always more important. But I can understand what someone would say, well, why is he still in there if he's not producing? But my thing is, you know, I know that Monk's not a good defensive player, but also, I mean, in the old days, it meant something to have a guy coming off the bench who could give you the instant offense and make a change, and you know the vibe of the game could change.
Infusion of energy.
I mean, back to the days of Bobby Jackson or Jamal Crawford or whoever, Lou Williams, and you need a guy like that, and he's been so valuable so many times this year, being either the leading or the second leading scorer or the third leading scorer. I really think that he's done so well offensively from that position. I wouldn't want to change that. It's really messing with that chemistry.
I'm with you, but a lot of people don't like that. I mean, a lot of fans anyway say, no, you're better off with him starting.
I think the role he's in is perfect. I call him microwave Monk for a reason, because when he gets
on. You don't like him, huh?
No. Come on.
It's not a great nickname, to be fair.
It's a great nickname because when he's hot.
There's already a microwave, though. There's already a guy called that.
Well,
a long time ago. Yeah, but you can't.
I call him microwave Monk, microwave Malik. But here's the thing: in the last 5 games, I got some plus minus.
Emil hates him.
That's all right. Let Emil talk.
-3, +3, -7, -3, -21 last night. He's a minus in most plus minus categories. That cannot be a starter for you, especially with an already smaller backcourt with De'Aaron Fox.
He is hurt a little bit right now,
Malik.
He's got a bad, like a nerve issue in his foot, which I think is contributing. But I think your larger point stands. Mm-hmm. And I also think there is value, more value than I think some fans realize. Maybe we just disagree on what you said, Phantom, having that guy coming off the bench.
Yep.
When we talked, Chris and I talked to Malik on Media Day, and I mentioned Bobby Jackson to him. Because it's like, it's great when you have a guy coming off the bench who knows, like, I'm good enough to start. I'm not starting. I'm good enough. Bobby Jackson was the same way. Mm-hmm. But he accepts that and does it for the good of the team. I think that really helps as far as the culture of the team. So I think there's value in that, too. I agree with you.
Yeah, he can really kind of see what's missing and kind of fill that in. And also, he's able to play both guard spots. I know he's smaller, but he can play both guard spots, which is really, really nice to have. And I think when you have a guy like that, even if it's subconsciously, your team knows, hey, here comes Malik's going to come in a couple of minutes. It's going to give us a jolt, and I think that's what he does.
Yeah. You know, Emil, people used to say the old Arco 2 was haunted.
Arco was haunted? Oh, Arco was definitely haunted.
You know why? Yeah. Used to be a gene effect.
No, you could feel the ghosts of King's Pass in Arco.
Yeah,
in the hollow bones of the wood paneling, you could feel it.
People used to wonder if there was like some old cemetery that used to be out there or
ground,
something.
Yeah, a little poltergeist action.
Yeah,
especially,
but it really it was just,
especially after all the playoff debacles. You can feel the ghosts in there.
It was just a series of...
I'm very superstitious and supernatural that way.
The first one wasn't haunted. The first Arco was just like an office building.
That's what it is now, isn't it?
Yeah, they just turned it in. It was nothing. Now it's an office building.
I cried when they tore down Arco. I was really sad I couldn't be there for the goodbye. I was still in Phoenix at the time. I shed a couple tears. It really hurt.
How do you feel when you go by on the, what is that, the 101, and there's no candlestick there?
Oh, it's weird.
It is.
It's super weird. I drove by like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, why is there just some open space by the ocean?
I know. It's been that way a long time.
The candlestick exit is still up. It just said it's closed.
Uh-huh.
But it's still like, it still says candlestick, and it's like, man, that's some haunted ground over there.
Yeah, and we had some miserable...
a problem with this guy. I really do.
You what?
Everything is haunted with this guy.
It's definitely
is. He calls you a nickname, he hates you, then he haunts you.
Isn't it funny about Candlestick, though, because we went there many times. I know you went there many times before I went there, and it was miserable, but you think back, and I was like, oh, man.
I saw Hank Aaron there, right? Oh, yeah,
I was freezing cold.
McCovey and everything. Yeah. Absolutely. Great memories. Sandy Koufax, Willie Mays, everybody.
And then the 49ers, the great Bill Walsh teams played there.
Yep.
Well, I was a Kezar Stadium guy, and then I graduated.
Did you ever go to a game at Kezar Stadium?
Yeah.
I went to the Jim Marshall
wrong way game.
Whoa. Oh. Wow.
Were you going, you're going the wrong way, dummy?
Yeah, but I did it with a British accent. No, I'm like 8 years old or something. I'm looking around. And I looked up and I saw this guy around. I go, he's going the wrong way. And as you are when you're 8 years old. But
You really knew what was
going on? Yeah, absolutely.
That's
wild. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that video?
I haven't seen it in a long time, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
Uh huh. The first game my dad ever took me to was at Kezar. It's the only time I went to.
What?
Bart Starr. Playing against Steve Spurrier, who was the 49er quarterback.
Yeah, so there's a quarterback discrepancy on with the pack. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it was like he wasn't hardly Bart Starr anymore.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. So it was a little later than I thought.
It's kind of like Tom Brady at the end.
That's right, because it'd be, what, late 60s?
Yeah. 70s, I think?
Okay, yeah, so that wasn't Bart Starr.
No, was he better or worse than Tom Brady at the end?
He wasn't.
Okay. It's a different era, too.
I'm curious. You know, some great quarterbacks can still have it towards the end.
Well, but you know, Emil, if you take a guy like Bart Starr, even in his prime, I mean, they didn't compare to even average quarterbacks now as far as the stats.
Yeah.
Dare I say system quarterback.
Sure.
Wow.
Go ahead. Star, system quarterback.
Aggressive.
Go ahead. No one's going to care.
Nobody cares.
If you say Brock Purdy is a what?
Oh, my God. Bart Starr. Like, Hall of Famer Bart Starr. Right. System quarterback.
Whatever.
Put him on the Cleveland Browns. Nothing.
All right. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mistletoe Monk, he will meet you above the rim. That's from Talented 10 Phantom. Score that one.
I give that one an 8.
An 8.
I like that one. Yeah. I like that one.
An original king is a Hall of Fame finalist. Does he at least make the Hall of Phantom? We'll look at the new nominees for the Basketball Hall of Fame when we come right back to the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Playing Huey Lewis because Phantom is in today. Name that Huey Lewis classic.
Power of Love.
Power of Love, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got any requests? Like, I want a new drug.
I want a new drug is awesome. Absolutely.
Is this the song that was in Back to the Future?
It's that song from that one movie.
Yes,
the one about the guy who goes back.
It's from that movie. I don't know what it's called.
See, that's how young I am. Is this song in that movie?
Mm-hmm. Right, but this is the guy who was championing Barbie a minute ago, and he doesn't know Back to the Future.
Kyle?
You don't know Back to the Future?
I'm being facetious there because I'm Gen Z, and it's funny to sound like I don't know anything.
What was the Huey Lewis song that... I guess they said, we want you to do Ghostbusters. He said, no.
Oh,
so Ray Parker Jr.
Did
it, Ghostbusters, and then it was, I want a new drug? Or it's like,
I think it might
and
have
Huey
been.
Huey Lewis said, that's my song.
But it was
song.
Definitely, it was, yeah. And they had to say, it kind of is.
Back for copyright law.
I think he won. I think he won.
Yeah, he did
a lot
win.
Of money,
yes, he did.
Yeah. On the text line here, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Just got my car. Is that Phantom awesome? The bleeping best. Watch the language on the text.
That's a lot of aggressiveness.
That's a 10 out of 10, my friend. That's a blanky blank 10.
Bleeping best.
Yeah, that might actually be from Phantom.
I think it might be. I don't know.
Phantom commented on his own thing?
I don't know how to text.
I think we should move Monk to the starting lineup, bolster the bench to replace his productivity, trade for Clarkson and maybe Sadiq Bey. This would replace the need to swing big for a star. Instead, bolster the overall roster this way. From the 831.
So you move Malik up, then you get another Malik and move him into the Malik spot, and then just grab Sadiq Bey.
And Clarkson.
That's the guy you're moving into the Malik spot.
He's the new Malik. Yeah.
Is Sadiq Bey really available, though? I mean, they just got him like a year ago.
Yeah, he's...
Are they using him in Atlanta?
He's starting, but the Hawks aren't very good, so I understand the texter's point.
He had a 50-point game with Detroit.
He was awesome.
He was one of the good players. I don't know why they got rid of him.
They got him like for a second round pick too. I couldn't believe they traded him. But Atlanta, I've heard, are going to be sellers of the deadline. I've heard that DeJounte Murray is on the trade block.
I saw that today too. I saw that the Lakers may be linked to him.
No, that's what are they going to actually trade for him?
I don't know, but they're linked to him.
The only player they can probably get is Zach LaVine because he's literally an appreciating asset.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's see here. And Tin says Phantom is also a character on You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Okay, very good. A little Adam Sandler there.
Look at you.
Yeah.
At that. Shout out, Tin. One of our regulars on Return of the Empire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We appreciate it. Real quick here, because we have, you know, Phantom's unique view and perspective on history. The new Basketball Hall of Fame nominees came out about 6 days ago. And I don't know how you want to do this, if you want to just do it like the way you used to.
The way
like,
we used to.
As soon as you hear the guy's name, like, yep, Hall of Famer.
The way we used to.
Let's do this.
And we got the younger generation here, too, so they can weigh in afterwards.
Yeah. I'll start with you, Emil. And if any of these guys are like, I don't know who that is, that's fair.
If I say who, then you guys take over for me.
Yeah. Bill Laimbeer.
Hall of Fame.
No.
Why not?
Really?
Because he's not good enough.
The original Draymond.
He won a couple of titles, obviously, with the Pistons, and he was a good outside shooter, and he was a good player, but he's very good, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
He was one of the original stretch fives, stretch fours?
Maybe,
we're talking 12-footers.
Yeah, I mean, the stretch didn't go out as far, but yes, he put down in a different era, he might have become a very good three-point shooter like a Lopez fellow.
Now, why do you say yes, Emil?
The original Draymond. I mean, he was the epitome of the bad boy Pistons. I mean, that guy was an enforcer out there. And if you got guys like McHale and Parrish, and I get that they have better stats and all that, but Laimbeer meant so much to the city of Detroit and to that franchise that I think that per Basketball Hall of Fame clarification, I think he's an important part of their team.
He apparently was a real jerk. Just in
terms of,
wasn't he would do all the stuff.
WNBA coach?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. He would do all the stuff that, you know, there's unwritten rules, like you don't do that to another player, and he would do them.
Yeah, within the players themselves.
To get the guys
he was a really
dirty
upset, player.
Yeah. And it would work.
And I don't think that he was an integral part as Draymond in as many championships, and so then I would not give him that
really?
Carte blanche that you give him. I mean, he had some pretty good supporting cast as well there, and so I don't think he was that important, and that's why I wouldn't. I mean, we're talking about the Hall of Fame
here. Do they win those titles, though, without Bill Laimbeer?
That doesn't matter.
I don't know if
they
do.
Yes, it does.
I bet they don't.
I bet they don't.
They had some incredible players on that team.
Yeah.
So do the Warriors, and without Draymond, they probably don't win all those titles either.
Mm-hmm. Scott Hastings said one time when Detroit got him, it was him and somebody else, and Laimbeer took him, and it was another big man, took him out to eat and said, all right, this is the way we do things. If they knock down one of our guards, if they send one of our guards to the floor, we send one of their guards to the bench.
Yep.
And it's like Sean Connery and the Untouchables.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's exactly but it's like, what it did. And then, you know, they weren't joking
it.
Around.
No, they were
it's
not.
Like, this
they were
is
real.
How we do it here.
They were real.
Yeah. And that's fine, but that doesn't make you in the Hall of Fame.
Have you seen the 30 for 30 on the Bad Boy Pistons? It's fantastic. It's a fantastic 30 for 30. Mm-hmm.
That was a really good team, and I think it's overshadowed. They were so physical. It's like you lose sight sometimes. They could beat you other ways, too.
Yeah, and they're between the Lakers and Celtics and then the Bulls in the next decade, so they got kind of forgotten.
Haven't they had, like, 25 years to induct Bill Laimbeer? I feel like I didn't watch him play, obviously, but if they haven't done it now, then, you know,
25 years.
They've had a while to
They
get
probably
him in
were
there.
Sitting around going, what about Laimbeer? We forgot about Laimbeer.
Chauncey Billups, Vince Carter, Tom Chambers.
Well, Vince Carter's going to go in.
Yes. So all of them.
I think probably Chauncey Billups is in, and I love Tom Chambers, but again, I don't know about Hall of Fame.
It's if you want a big Hall of Fame or not, and the Basketball Hall of Fame's really big.
I just think it might be too big.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no on Tom Chambers.
Sean Marion?
No.
No.
Referee Joey Crawford?
Yes.
Probably.
Probably.
Michael Cooper?
Well, that is a difficult one.
That's a tough one.
That is
super instrumental to the Showtime Pistons, but that's that. I'm going
to
say no.
Like, yeah, don't you have to be a starter to be in the Hall of Fame?
John Havlicek?
He was a star.
Well, later on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to get a point here.
James Harden, you know?
Wow.
I think Michael Cooper gets in.
I think I'm with you. I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would put, me personally, Michael Cooper before I'd put Laimbeer in.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it, yeah. He was an important part of more championship teams.
We have a former Kings coach, Dick Motta.
No.
I thought Dick Motta was already in the Hall of Fame.
So
doesn't he have like the most wins or 900 wins or something?
Well, I don't. He doesn't have the most wins.
Based on his Kings tenure, I would say
he
no.
Has a championship.
But I think overall, I think probably he'll get in. Yeah.
Yeah.
One-time NBA champion, one-time Eastern Conference champion.
Mm-hmm. Didn't quite get the Kings where he wanted to get the Kings.
That's true about a lot of.
There were a myriad of reasons for that.
True about a lot of coaches here in the Sacramento area.
Marcus Johnson.
I love Marcus Johnson, definitely.
Hall of Famer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hall of Famer? Because you like him.
Yes,
because you like him, he's Hall of Famer.
He could take Bill Laimbeer and beat him anytime.
Bucks Marcus Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the original
points. Before my time a little bit, but.
Good player, but.
Sure.
And again, you count college, and he was the most outstanding player in college.
Hmm.
We're not counting college.
Yes, you do. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. You count everything.
Yeah, they actually do.
Okay.
Yeah, you count everything.
They count high school. That's
medals,
one reason why it's so big.
Five-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll give them sure.
Well, I mean, that's comparable to some of the guys who have gotten in lately, a Tim Hardaway. And I mean, 5 All-Star games and 2 or 3 All-NBAs. That's about what they've been
doing. They kind of let a lot of people in. I mean, Manute Bol is in the Hall of Fame. So.
He is?
Yes, he is. Okay. I believe so. Manute Bol is in the Hall of Fame.
And we'll leave it here for now. There's a lot of other players and coaches, of course, and a lot of women and nominees. Reggie Theus, nominee for the Hall of Fame. One of the original Sacramento Kings.
Manute Bol is not in the Hall of Fame.
I was wrong. I apologize.
He's in the Hall of Emil.
He's in the Hall of Cool for me.
Yeah, so he has no nickname, obviously, so Emil likes him. I don't think so for Reggie Theus. I'm going to say no.
No, I say no either. I do have a Reggie Theus jersey, though, but no.
You have a jersey?
I have a Theus jersey, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fairness to Emil, Manute Bol is inducted into the University of Bridgeport Athletics Hall of Fame.
That's what he meant. Clearly that's what
population
you meant.
A Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I get half a point, please.
It's like Jerry Reynolds is in like four or five Halls of Fame.
Manute's in a hall of his own because of just his physical attributes and just size of being just a eighth wonder of the world out there on the court.
Yeah, does he have the NBA record for tallest player to make a three?
Probably. Yeah, and his son was just here, wasn't it? Bol Bol just here?
Yeah, he's on Boston, I think.
Yeah, he was just here.
I thought he was on Phoenix.
Oh, you're right. I think he's on Phoenix now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Ikeda's on.
Yeah, that's a good
you're
list.
Thinking
like
of Boston used to have the guy who's been playing in China now. I forget. Taco Fall.
Shout out Taco.
I was also thinking of our guy, Keita.
Oh, okay.
I was flipping those two.
I'm really happy for Nemi. I'm so happy Nemi's got a spot in Boston. I hope he stays around. I think he's very talented.
Well, me too, but no Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but Reggie Theus is not making it.
He's got a long way to go.
You're saying
no, I'm not letting Reggie in. In fact, I don't know.
I didn't say Reggie.
Is he? No, I know, but I'm just asking you. Would he be behind in the queue, Mr. Bill Laimbeer? Would Bill Laimbeer get in before Reggie?
Correct.
He's got titles.
Yeah.
Titles mean something to the voters.
Not only titles, but he has status as we are an era of basketball.
Yeah. He was the face of, he was kind of the face.
He was one of the
bad boys of the space.
He was.
But not of the Pistons. I think that's Isaiah. Obviously.
He's a Detroit legend, that's for sure.
It is hard with the Basketball Hall of Fame because they are so inclusive. Mm-hmm. But to me, Reggie is one of those guys, classic case of really good player, right up. That's like as good as you can be without being a Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Only a two-time All-Star, not one with the Kings. I mean, he was really more of an empty stats guy, unfortunately. Didn't have a lot of
The All-Stars and the All-NBA teams, that really matters when you're going back and looking at some of these
it
guys.
It does.
And he just doesn't have the numbers.
I know a guy that used to coach the Kings. He was a head coach at one time.
Uh-huh.
And he told us, I think he told us, Phantom, that Reggie Theus, they'd run a play, and Reggie Theus would sabotage the play so that it ended up he would get the shot. So, he would run the play in such a way that he knew that...
Wait a minute, that's two-thirds of the league right now.
If I don't pass it here, or if I don't run this right, I'm going to end up with the ball at the end of the shot clock, and I'm going to get the shot.
Well, if it wasn't Eddie, he's probably the best guy to
Reggie,
have it.
Sounds like, I know what you're doing.
Sounds like Wilt Chamberlain syndrome.
Sounds like the entire San Antonio Spurs this year.
Oh, my God.
He wrote a book, on the Spurs.
Except for Wembanyama, who can't get the ball for some reason.
Yeah. Boy, you know, in my little my rip card, that could be a Wemby card in there.
Yeah, why don't you just rip it right now then?
You should rip it on air.
Right now.
I don't have it.
I'll send it away. We'll send out for it.
When we come back, how much losing on Christmas could cost the 49ers? Emil's in with us today. Of course, Kyle, the Phantom, is with us today.
Phantom.
In for Kyle on the Drive, guys, Sacktown Sports.